and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's program. It's an awesome Saturday in the city. Why? Because we're live and we're right here. And I definitely thank you for stopping by and checking us out, because you really could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. My name is Tiffany Bacon, and today we're going to have a very provocative and interesting discussion about what happens to students when alternative schools are closed. I know you heard the news months ago that many schools are being closed for the upcoming school year. And for some, the school year has already started. So what happens to those students that are kind of in between, not completely criminal-minded, but have done a couple things to get a little smudge on their record, and they can't go to a lot of schools that their parents may want them to go? So what happens when you close the schools that will accept them, work with them, and help them get back into the flow of things? That's going to be our main discussion today. Our telephone number is 215 563-1039. What do you think is going to happen to said students? You can call in and talk about that. We're going to have some special guests who will join me in studio as well to discuss this topic. And you can always post your comments and your questions to our Facebook page. We would certainly love for you to like us. So go to Facebook.com and look for Praise in the City. As always, we're going to start the day with some inspiration.
I like that, y'all.
I've had my share of heartaches, but I'm still here. Trouble, I've seen my share of trouble,
yeah.
But I'm still here. Bruises, I've taken my lumps and bruises, but I'm still here. Yes, I am. Loneliness, I've had my share of loneliness, but I'm still here. Listen. Can anybody relate to that tonight? I made it, yeah.
I made it
through
another day's journey. God kept me here.
Now I know somebody can relate to what I'm about to say now.
Lied on, many times I've been lied on.
Yeah.
But I'm still here. Thank you, Lord. Burdens, I had to bear so many burdens, but I'm still here, yes. Dark days, I had my share of dark days, but I'm still here, yes I am. Disappointments, but I'm still here, yeah. Through it all,
I made it through another day's journey.
Woo.
God kept me here.
I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I thank God that I'm still here.
I made it.
Let me tell you what it was, y'all. Listen.
Yeah.
It's by the grace of God
that I'm still here today. He was always there, no matter what came my way. A very present help in my time of need. Standing right there just to see about me. His arms around me. It hasn't been easy, no. I made it. Yeah. Oh, kept me here. And I just want y'all to know that tonight I made it.
Well, yes, I made it.
I'm still here. A lot of folks said that I wouldn't be here tonight. But I've made it. By the grace of God, yo.
Yes, I made it.
I'm still here, yo. Yes, I am. I had to lay awake in the midnight hour sometime, tossing and turning. All night long.
Yes,
have anybody ever had to lay awake all night long sometime?
I'm still here.
Tears in your eyes, wondering what the next day was gonna bring. But God, I kept it up. Yes, he did.
You made it through
your trials. You're still here tonight. Come on and let me see those hands and hands tonight. I made it. Yeah.
Still here,
y'all. Through it all. I'm still here.
I love that. I made it. I'm still here. And it's a good thing to say each and every day because, you know, the way things go sometimes, you don't have to be here, but I'm certainly glad you are. I'm Tiffany Bacon. You are tuned in to Praise in the City here on Praise 103.9 FM. Again, let me remind you about our Facebook page. I would love for you to be our friend there. We can keep up with each other throughout the week. You can tell me what you think about the show, make some suggestions, also make your comments on what we're talking about if you are unable to call. So go to facebook.com and look for Praise in the City. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, today we're talking about what happens to students when schools that are providing alternative education, especially if the child has a behavioral issue or has been labeled as a troubled or problem student. If these schools are closed, what is going to happen to that child or to those children? So you can give us a call if you have a thought on that. If you have a child or you have interactions with a child who have been who've been labeled as troubled, who may even have a record, who may need alternative education, but the school that they were in has released them. A nice way to say that. What are you going to do? What is going to happen to that child? What do you think should happen? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Today I have two friends of mine from a school that is very dear to my heart, and they'll tell you more about the school. We have Talene Brown, Miss Toy, as we like to call her. She is the behavior advisor of Hope Charter High School, and Lisa Hixenbaum, who is the clinical coordinator at Hope. Good morning, ladies. Welcome to the program. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
All right. Awesome. So first, give us a little rundown for those who are not familiar with Hope Charter. Please give us a rundown of what Hope is all about and why it is such a special school.
Hope Charter is a school that specializes in helping that child who's considered at risk, not necessarily because of behavior problems, but they are reading, math levels may be low, or sometimes you have children who are really gifted who can fall between the cracks also. So what Hope does is they gear the education towards the individual child.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, what parent wouldn't want a situation where the education is geared towards the individual child and they don't have to pay for it? Like, that's what a lot of private schools can do for you. But if you do not have that money, then Hope is the alternative. So when it's listed as an alternative school, what other types of things do you provide for that child that is labeled at risk?
Well, we have the behavioral health clinic. Miss Lisa Hitzebob could tell you about that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a different behavior. We have the behavior advisors in place, mm-hmm. who our job is not to just deal with discipline, but to advocate on the behalf of the child, mm-hmm. as well as to help them make decisions and look at things from different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
We have our academic advisors. We have the special education department. And then because we are such a small community or a small school, we feel more like family. So all of the staff gets to know the students, mm-hmm. and the students' families.
Okay. And Ms. Hixenbaum, if you could talk a little bit more about, as the clinical coordinator, what it is that you do and how beneficial it is to the HOPE students.
Okay. Well, HOPE was set up originally for kids who have a lot of needs.
Mm-hmm.
It was set up for kids who were, having a lot of difficulties in the public schools, were being, suspended a lot, expelled a lot. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that these kids have had a lot going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a lot of trauma. They've had a lot of deaths in their families, things that really cause them to have difficulty with their education.
Mm-hmm.
So when HOPE was set up, they set up a situation where there's an actual outpatient clinic within the school,
mm-hmm.
so that for those kids who have those extra needs, they can go directly to the mental health area, the
mm-hmm.
behavioral health area, to get those needs met. And so, with the behavioral health clinic within the school itself, we're able to work with kids who are depressed and have high anxiety and have high trauma and that sort of thing.
Okay. Now, this is the type of situation that a lot of public schools aren't able to really provide to every student because there are so many. About how many students does HOPE usually hold?
At our max capacity, I believe it's 400 right this second for the current school year. We have approximately between 320, 325 students.
Okay. So that at max, that would average about maybe 100
per grade level.
Okay. So with that type of education and that type of focus, do you think that people really understand the benefit of having a school like that? And how many people do you think are aware of what HOPE does and has been able to do?
I don't think that people, unless they have a child that has attended HOPE or a school like HOPE, really understands what HOPE offers. Although I currently am employed there as the behavior advisor, I'm also the parent of three alumni students
mm-hmm.
from HOPE Charter High School. And I know just from a parent's perspective, you don't understand the importance of that one-on-one time, whether it's
mm-hmm.
with your advisor or being able to have the one-on-one time with a teacher
mm-hmm.
Or being able to even have a therapist on hand
mm-hmm.
that when you're dealing with something that may not seem major to the adults, but is major for that teenager at that
mm-hmm.
time in their life, where they have that outlets to go to and those resources to give them those important assistances. With my children in the general public school system, a lot of times I felt like they were falling through the cracks.
Mm.
One was too quiet and wouldn't speak up.
Mm.
One was so outgoing that
mm-hmm.
everyone just assumed she could. And one just needed an extra push every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not receive those types of services until they got to HOPE.
All right. So I want to bring you, my listening audience, into the conversation because the show ain't this show without you. So what do you think is going to happen to students, as Ms. Toy just mentioned, who fall through the cracks in regular public schools or in other public schools, in larger public schools? What do you think is going to happen to these students if alternative or special schools like HOPE are closed? What do you think should happen if it's your child? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Looking at what's going on in the Philadelphia school system, and I know you all know firsthand, and I know firsthand because I used to teach at HOPE, so
yes.
And I love my HOPE babies, but do you think it's that the overall administration just doesn't understand the need for a lot of schools like Hope, to be open, to stay open, to be in existence, do you think they don't get what it is that's going on, the special attention to really help students through? I mean, you're talking about serious mental issues. And when I mean mental issues, depression is a serious issue. And you're talking about depression linked with adolescence, a lot of hormones, a lot of changes every year. This major change is going on in your body. And you have the added issue of depression and trauma. Mm-hmm. Do you think they just don't get that, or what's going on?
My personal opinion is that society has set up to such a way that we're number crunchers. Mm. We look at test scores to try to determine what is beneficial for our student body across the main scheme mm-hmm. of the Philadelphia public school system. But unfortunately, when you look at test scores, you do miss the bigger picture mm. because you do miss the fact that a test score cannot show that that child may have just witnessed a murder the mm-hmm. night before or within previous weeks. Or test scores does not show the trauma that that child may have went through in previous years mm-hmm. as they were growing up that they are trying to overcome. Mm-hmm. So we have got to get to a point where we stop looking at the test scores and look at the well-rounded student. What is the best thing for the student? Because right now, it appears as though the general administration of the school district just looks at numbers.
Mm-hmm. And now these are the these aren't the test scores as in, okay, I got an A in math and a B in science. You're talking about the standardized test scores, and they're called the
PSSAs.
The PSSAs. Okay, so you're looking at just the PSSA scores. Now, I'm going to say this because I'm a, you know, we didn't have I didn't take PSSAs back in the day. I didn't even hear of a PSSA, and I went to school in the 80s. So I remember taking the SATs very clearly, mm-hmm. and I remember the lump in my throat. I remember the extreme anxiety. I went to a private school, excellent education, Quaker education, awesome, all that. When I stepped into that SAT room, it's like I forgot everything except my name. And then there was a lot of stuff on the test that I never saw before, even though I had an excellent education. I'm like, I've never seen this word. I don't know what this is. What are you talking about? What do you mean? I should know. I don't know this. And I read all my work. I got A's. I got B's. I don't get it. So how really are these tests? And I did not do well. Let me add, I did not do well on the SATs, and it did not prohibit my progress as a successful citizen or in my career at all. But how can you really look at these tests and say this individual student is able to this, that, and such? This school is this, that, and such. How are you really able to determine that from a test score of a standardized test?
And that is, I think, parents' biggest issues is how do you determine my child's future destination based on a current test score? There is no way to determine from a test score what a child's education has been like up until that point. Standardized test scores state that by 11th grade, a child should know whatever they have decided is mm-hmm. on that test. Mm-hmm. However, as you said, you may have the child that just freezes. You know, mm-hmm. everyone is not test takers. Mm-hmm. I see the anxiety of children when we get ready for PSSAs. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes we have had students who have almost went into hyperventilation mm-hmm. situations mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. from just the thought of having to sit and look at that test score.
Right.
But the test score does not give you the overall view of that child's education. It doesn't tell you the exact levels of where that child is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell you where they were before they took the test or where they are after right. they take the test. It just gives you a brief glimpse at where they are right that second.
All right. So we want to address a couple of things. We're going to have to take a break. Quan, I see you. I want you to hold on because I want you to be my first caller when I come back from the break. We want to address a couple of things. What do you think is going to happen to the students who are labeled at risk if they do not have that attention, if they do not have the specialized education, if the schools that provide them with that are closed, what's going to happen to those students that are kind of walking the line? Also, I want you to call in and talk about the degree of your feelings on standardized tests and how that should determine whether a school should stay open or closed. So give us a call at 215-263-1039. Quan, hold the line, and everybody else who's listening, call in. We want to hear from you. Stay right there. Praise in the City returns right after this.
Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of our program. I want to go right to the phones. We are talking about Hope Charter High School in particular, but what happens to students who are labeled at risk? And if the city closes many schools, and some of them are schools that give specialized education to the students who are labeled at risk, if they close, what's going to happen to those students? If they don't get that attention, if they don't get all the things that they need to make them the most progressive and positive students that they can be, what's going to happen to them? If it was your child, what would you like to have happen? 215-263-1039. Also, we're having a discussion about the test scores. And, you know, is it that the administration just doesn't get it? Why are we putting so much emphasis on test scores and not the overall education, health and wellness of the student in Philadelphia? Reach out to us with a comment or a question. 215-263-1039. Quan from West Philly has been waiting patiently. Quan, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Breathing on schedule. Thank you much. What's your comment or question?
Well, with the Philadelphia alternative school thing,
mm-hmm.
I was in a school where there was a program called OASIS.
Mm-hmm.
At Roxborough High School.
Yes.
In order to get me past my behavioral issues and have personal assistance with things that I needed help with.
Mm-hmm.
But since me being in that program, since I was drawn to that program because of my behavior,
mm-hmm.
My behavior also got me kicked out of the program,
which
was the program to help me graduate on time, even though I had 8 or 9 credits. Like, a lot of students in the Philadelphia High School may end up in the 12th grade with 8 or 9 credits trying to force themselves to get back one of all these extra things,
mm-hmm.
because if there's not a program and the kids are going through a lot of things at home or in the streets or
mm-hmm.
or don't have anything,
mm-hmm.
it'll be very hard for them to focus on school,
right?
Because a lot of kids came up with personal assistance or extra help.
Mm.
And this program these programs and alternative schools are actually good for kids, because without these programs, they wouldn't want to focus at all.
Right. So what do you think is going to happen if these programs go away, if the schools that provide that specialized education are closed?
What actually happened to me is I ended up dropping out of school after I could not focus and passing, because once I got out of the program, school was very hard trying to get back,
mm-hmm.
Balancing my education with the regular students, because the work and curriculum that we had in the program wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped out and ended up having to go to a Twilight program to get my diploma, which
okay.
I did get my diploma.
Okay.
But it may not be that doesn't happen for everybody. And what they have to realize, if the kids do end up dropping out and don't have time to jump back to focus,
mm-hmm.
they'll end up being what the teachers will tell you all your life, is that you're going to end up, they're building jails for you, or
mm-hmm.
you're going to be a statistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead, Quan.
That's very hard to balance as a teenager coming up from 16 to 20 years old.
Right.
Some kids are graduating when they're 20, 21.
Right.
Some of them are just giving up.
And so what does that, you know, speaking from experience, what does that do to your self-esteem and to your drive and to your dreams?
It's very hard to bounce back from that. Even though you graduate, even though sometimes you do graduate, you feel as though, and your parents also feel as though, that you may not be able to move forward because of what you've done in the past, and certain people won't be with every move that you want to make. Like, I want to do this, I want to do that, because they feel as though, well, you could not do that in school, then you probably would not be able to do that in this world. You should take a trade. You shouldn't go to college, or because they don't believe that you can do it. You end up losing believers, and your self-esteem goes down with about everything you want to do.
This is very powerful. I'm really glad that you've called in to give that personal testimony, and I thank you for being brave enough to, you know, speak on your own situation. If you could speak to the people who make decisions about schools and what should stay open, what should close, what program should stay, which program should go, what would you say to those people?
I would tell them that all alternative schools should stay open. That was one of the best things to happen to city schools, because with this school in with the school district in Philadelphia having so many dropouts and so many people not wanting to complete all the way, and so much babies and all that going on, the alternative school gives you a time to do everything else that you feel as though you have personal things to do. You may be 16, 17, taking care of adult situations at home or with your family or something, and you won't be able to do a whole day of school. And with these programs, they give you, they bunch it all up, and you be out at 12 o'clock, and you could take care of everything you want to take care of from after 12 o'clock on, and then still get your diploma and be happy. I mean, and even though they might look to see where your diploma came from, it might have came from an alternative school, but that alternative school is better than not having a diploma at all.
All right, good stuff. Quan, thank you so much, and I wish you continued success, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us this morning.
Okay, thank you. You have a blessed
day. All right, you do the same. Let's go to line two and speak with Mike from West Philadelphia. Mike, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, doing fine. Thank you. What's your comment?
My comment is when it comes to the public school system, a lot of this stuff is by design. It's not by accident. The scripture says the least of these. And what the school system has decided, and I worked not in the system, but as a volunteer, in several schools in the West Philadelphia area and throughout the city, and several charter schools, is we're going to end up with a two-tier system. Those that have and those that are going to be left behind. And the alternative school kids, our kids have multiple problems. So it's not like whatever's going on at home, whatever's going on in their community, they bring all of that to the school. And the schools are not designed, quote unquote, to deal with that group of kids. That's why they created alternative schools for those students. And personally, I went through that whole process in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 60s. So I know a little bit about how systematically kids are being disenfranchised. Their rights are being violated. Rather than educate you, they'd rather put you over in a corner somewhere and say they're educating you and never really educate you. And they're marking a lot of kids to go to jail. That's why they're building more prisons, because they're anticipating that group of kids. If they're not dealt with now, we'll deal with them later in a penal institution. And those are the kids that fall through the cracks. And so I'm saying it's political. Okay?
All right.
It's social. And it's economics.
And Mike, I just
and
wanted
my
to say,
solution, but there is a solution. My solution to the whole charter, which I know some kids that go there and I know some of the staff over there, is they're going to have to, all alternative schools need to band together, the parents. The parents. Because the kids don't really have a strong enough voice. The parents must band together. My recommendation is, one, they should file a lawsuit, especially if they're getting Title I money, which is federal money. For special ed, for any of the students. Parents should be prepared to find them a lawyer like Cecil B. Moore was and file lawsuits against the state, against the school board, against the city, whoever is in power, who has the control of the finances to keep these schools open.
Okay.
Two, they need to raise money on their own to try to keep these schools open. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead, because we're going to have to wrap this part up, because I do want to speak to my guests in studio and give anybody else an opportunity to call in if they choose. That's okay. And so that was two. Do you have a third for your three-step program or your steps program to remedy this?
Yes. And the third is to contact their elected officials, city council person, the district city council person, and make some noise. You have to make the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
All right, and so we need some more squeaks.
Yes,
amen. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate that. I appreciate your STEPS program because I'm all about the solutions. And I thank you for listening this morning.
Okay.
All right, have a good one. If you have a comment that you would like to make before we close, because we are getting close to the end of the show, we encourage you to call us right now at 215-263-1039. And I want to reintroduce Miss Toy and Miss Lisa from Hope Charter High School, a school that is labeled as alternative school because you do focus on the students who have been labeled at risk and you give them that specialized education. Now, hearing Kwan's story, how did that resonate with you in thinking about the students that you work with on a daily basis at Hope?
For me, Kwan could have been a Hope student speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been a Hope student speaking. He was the voice of over, I'm going to say, 2,000 children who I've seen come through the halls of Hope Charter High School.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was true. A lot of things go on in the dynamics of family life today. Mm-hmm. You have single parents who have to work, who may have more than one child, where an older sibling is looking out for younger siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So those dynamics could play a part in children getting to school on time, being able to focus in at school. You have children who unfortunately have parents who are addicted to something, and that child is the parent of the household.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out how to pay bills. They're trying to figure out how to keep a roof over their heads as well as their parents' heads.
Mm-hmm.
You have children who are actually the flip side of that, are super intelligent. They're
mm-hmm.
considered gifted, and people don't realize that gifted children have IEPs also.
Mm-hmm.
That child that's extremely gifted, who everyone thinks is just ignoring the teacher in the classroom, is not ignoring because they don't know the work. They're bored and want more work.
Mm-hmm.
And Kwan's story just sings out to that population that does not have that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, charter schools like Hope Charter, alternative education schools being placed on the chopping block, it sends a sense of you're not worth it to that child. So
mm-hmm.
it sends them back into the streets. It sends them back into mainstream public school
mm-hmm.
where they were already not being successful at. So I say kudos to Kwan for getting his high school diploma
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and for forcing his way through to success in that area. And however, we need more programs like that for the children who are like Kwan.
Miss mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Elise.
And I wanted to say Kwan sounds like a really resilient type of guy
mm-hmm.
Who perhaps had the support or had the inner support
mm-hmm.
to push himself through to finally get that diploma. And that's fantastic. Good for Kwan.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a number of kids who don't have that, who don't have the support, who don't have that inner self, feelings of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And when programs like Hope and other alternative schools, when people want to close those type of schools, those kids who don't have those supports, you know, it's just another abandonment. It's just another huge organization saying, we're giving up on you. We're quitting on you. We don't care about you. And these kids really feel like they don't have anything else to do. They have, you know, they give up on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they quit. Like Kwan quit initially. But there was something, some drive in him that said, no, you know, I got to keep going.
Yeah.
And there are a whole lot of kids at Hope, at other alternative schools, who don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no place for them to go when those schools are closed.
Now, what more can be done, like, for Hope, for other schools who are facing either closing or being dismantled or being shifted in some way, in a way that they're not able to provide the services that they've been able to provide? What more do you think you can do? How can you get this message that we're saying right here on the radio today across to the people that make decisions and have students like Kwan or people like Kwan who have this testimony? How can you get that heard and make a big change in this situation?
We have to keep fighting. We have to keep speaking. We have to keep screaming to the top of our voices that we need special services for our children and for that population of children. And it's not just hope. I know that this year the school district is merging a bunch of schools together. Mm-hmm. So whereas you might have had a school that had 1,000 children in it initially, it's now getting ready to turn into a school with 2,000 to 3,000 children in it, which is now creating another vacuum effect where children are going to just slip through the cracks. Our children need that hands-on, one-on-one experience. Not all mm-hmm. of them, that's true. Mm-hmm. Some children can sit in a classroom with 40 other children and be very successful in mm-hmm. their education. However, you have some children who are like me, that if you're in a classroom with 40 other people, mm-hmm. sooner or later, I'm going to start paying attention to what the other 39 are doing around me versus what the one teacher is saying in front of me. Mm-hmm. So for those children, we cannot just say we give up. We cannot just say the child that bounces off the wall will make it. We mm-hmm. cannot say the child with the low reading skill or math skill won't be successful in life. Because just using Hope Charters as an example, we have some very, very good success stories mm-hmm. with some of our alumni. We have one that is a playwright. We have one that's in nursing school. We have one mm-hmm. student who is on their way to their master's degree.
Awesome.
And it's more. It's not just those three. For those three that I named, there is at least 20 more who are successful in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. The biggest success for me was I got hospitalized 3 years ago mm-hmm. and was at a hospital. They were having a hard time putting the IV in. And I was sort of screaming out in pain from them touching me mm-hmm. and poking me. And I heard a voice say, "Miss Toy, is that you?" And it was a Hope alumni student mm. who was the supervisor of the phlebotomy department mm. that came in to assist me. And this was a child that, according to statistics, would not have been successful.
Wow. Awesome. We have 1 minute left in the program. I want you guys to give information out if there is a parent out there who's listening to what's happening and they're like, you know what, I think I need to have my child at Hope to get that special attention. How can they reach out to you guys and where can they find more information on what Hope provides?
Hope has a website up at hopecschool.org mm-hmm. that has all of that information on it. They could come past the school, 2116 East Haines Street, mm-hmm. or they could call 267-336-2730 and speak with Ms. Capers, who is our admissions director.
All right. Fantastic. Final words before we leave from each of you about our education. And I need that in like 5 seconds each.
It is important. Our children need it. We need to fight for them to receive it.
Awesome. Miss Lisa.
And I guess to sum it up, Philadelphia needs hope.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you coming on the program this morning. Much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. We'd love to have brand new friends. Go to Facebook.com and look for Praise in the City. Stay close because Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.